mark today. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord, I think it would be only fitting today if we give Sister Diane an opportunity to give us a testimony today about her experience at Ladies Conference. Amen. The Lord brought this precious lady into our church, and we're so thankful for their family. Amen. The Lord's brought her a mighty long way. She's had some serious health struggles, but she's hung right in here with us. We're going to have her give her testimony.
Thank you. I'm nervous, and I hope I can get through this without getting upset. I haven't cried in a couple of years, and I told Melissa I've not stopped since yesterday. I didn't go to the Friday morning service, but I did go to the Friday night service. And I was sitting there in the service, and after the service was over, everybody was praying, and I was in my seat. I had been over to pray, and I remember telling God, please send me somebody to help me. And before I ever got that out of my mouth, this lady came from I have no idea where. I'd never seen her before. And she said, honey, you don't have the Holy Ghost, do you? And I said, no, not yet. She says, Jesus told me to come and pray for you, and that if you would let go what you're holding, then you would receive that. I was so flabbergasted. I started crying. I thought, oh, my Lord, God's listening to me. Because I never thought about him listening to my prayers. I didn't think I was worthy of it. So the next morning when I got there, I was excited to go. And to tell you, before I even went, I didn't even think anything about going. I thought, well, if Amy bows out, I'm bowing out with her, because I thought, I mean, a conference, what could it possibly do? But I was sitting there, and after I heard that lady preach her preaching, and I was sitting there, and I started praying, and somewhere along the line, I don't know where, I lost control of it. But I lost control, and I all of a sudden started hearing things in my head and saying it out my mouth. I had no idea what I was saying, and I couldn't stop. And I didn't want to stop. And then I started crying and couldn't stop crying. So when I came here a couple of years ago, I was the biggest skeptic ever was. They tell me, you know, we talk in tongues. Yeah, well, whatever. Don't tell it to me. But I want to tell you that if the Lord can give it to me, he can give it to any of you, because the Lord knows I was a dumpster fire in the making. Now I'm just smoldering, Jim. Thank you.
To receive the Holy Ghost. And that's number one, you must repent. And number two, you must have faith and believe that God will do it. And there's nobody that he cannot fill with his spirit, with the initial sign of speaking in a heavenly language. Amen. I'm so thankful for that precious testimony. Stand with me all over this house. I know, amen, it's a very special day in the house of the Lord, because I saw my friend Craig and my sister Ashley walk in the door back there. God bless y'all. So good to see you today. Amen. Amen. We're so excited to see you. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise for all of our visitors. Amen. We've been loving having Sister Maddie's family with us. God bless you all so much. Amen. They're spoiling us. Amen. Sister Kristen, amen, her family, God bless you. Man, I tell you, the Lord has just been adding to us. We're such a blessed people today. We're a blessed people today. And there's so many new faces in this church. Good to see Sister Shyla back with us today. Amen. Sister Mariah back with us today. Amen. I tell you, Lord, added Sister Charity to this church, and we're so thankful for her. Man, I tell you, I better just stop. Brother Paul, the Lord added Brother Paul to this church. I just got to stop, because we can just keep on going and keep on going. Amen. God is so good. He is so good. Stand with me if you're able today. I do want to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart. I think it's fitting, coming out of ladies' conference, Sister Diane receiving the Holy Ghost, ladies being strengthened. in the Spirit. I believe what the Lord has given me today is fitting for this time. If you'll join me in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, I'm going to be reading verse 42 through 44. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44. You can shout amen when you get there. Amen. I'll give you just a second while I wet my whistle. Man, we have experienced the presence of the Almighty in this place today. And I feel so fortunate to be able to stand in the presence of God. We are a blessed people. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 42. The word of the Lord says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body." Oh my God. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. For the sake of time, jump down to verse 50 with me. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment," everybody say in a moment. Oh my God, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Ooh, for this corrupt must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Ooh. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? My God. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. On that great and glorious day when he calls his church home, there will be no more dying. There'll be no more saying goodbye. Hallelujah. Just one more verse of scripture. You don't have to turn there, but it's up on the screen behind me. The book of Revelations, the 12th chapter and the 11th verse. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." Today, church, we are still overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. We are still overcoming by the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. There's desire. There's a longing for victory. The desire, the longing for victory has always driven man, to face insurmountable obstacles and challenges. How many know we desire victory today? How many want to be a loser today? How many want to be victorious today? Victory drives people. Amen. I believe this is a victorious church in a victorious time for a victorious purpose, serving a victorious God. If you're victorious, I want you to clap your hands unto the Lord all over this house and give him high praise today. Hallelujah. Oh, God has ordained, God has anointed. The Lord continues to bless his victorious church. I want to preach to you for just a few moments on this subject. A victorious church. a victorious church. Clap your hands one more time unto the Lord as you're seated in Jesus' name. But don't sit down on the Holy Ghost today. My apologies, the Benadryl has my throat really dried out. My allergies, and so you're just going to have to bear with me taking a few drinks of water today. Amen. But I believe that the Lord has given the church victory today. The church stands today as a testimony. The church stands as a testament today of the Master Builder. It was built, designed by God Himself. And when we look at the history of man, we look at the history of God's people, we study the children of Israel in the Old Testament and the tabernacle and the temple. When we follow and we come and we fast forward into the New Testament, we look at the lives, Sister Lucinda, of the apostles and the formation of the church. We ought to be a thankful people today to have a church. And not just any church, but a victorious church. We ought to be a thankful people today. Amen. The church stands as a testament of the Master Builder. God Himself, Jesus Himself, walked the face of the earth, chose, hand-picked disciples Himself to establish, Brother Chris, a church. And it ain't just any old church. It's a victorious church. It's the work of His holy hands. How many know the Lord doesn't build junk? The Lord builds things that last. The Lord builds things that stand the test of time, Brother Joe. The Lord builds things that are eternal. Amen. And we are a part of a victorious church today. Jesus asked His disciples a very simple question. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they responded to Him, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some say that thou art Elias, and others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And Jesus turns to them again and says unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, stands up and answers, and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," whoo, my God, "upon this rock," Brother Timmy, "upon this rock, Brother Paul, upon this rock, Brother Eddie, upon this rock, Brother Elijah, upon this rock," He said, "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." It's a victorious church today. It's an overcoming church today. It's a church that can help get you to heaven today. Amen. He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Can I tell somebody, you never had a greater privilege in your life than being in a truth-preaching church. You never had a greater privilege than having God install His precious truth into your life, because it takes the truth to make you free today. We never had a greater privilege than to be a part of an end-time harvest church. Can I tell somebody today that the church is destined for victory? It's destined. Victory already belongs to the church. When we view our problems, we don't even realize that victory already belongs to us. Brother Tommy, we go through stuff, we're wondering how it's going to turn out. We shouldn't even be wondering how it's going to turn out. We should already know how it's going to turn out, because the church is victorious today. We should already know where the victory is. It's designed for victory because the Lord built it Himself. The Lord designed it for victory Himself, Because it's built upon the revelation that he came, he gave his life, he suffered, he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. He resurrected from the grave to give us life and to have more life more abundantly. We were designed for victory. Church, the church was designed for victory. No power in heaven. How many remember Lucifer tried? No power in heaven can stand against it. Come on. No power in earth. How many remember Saul desired letters from Damascus to further persecute? No power in heaven, no power in earth can stand against the church today. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church today. Lucifer tried. Saul tried. No power in hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I want you to go over to Jerusalem. He said, there you're going to see a man. He's bearing a pitcher of water. And he said, I want you to follow that man. He's going to take you into an upper room. And he said, in that room, all things are already furnished. He said, I want you to go there into the city of Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry there, and I want you to wait for me, because it's there you're going to be endued with power from on high. And he said, and if you'll do this, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then all of a sudden, just like he promised, they gathered together in that upper room. Come on that very special day. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, all of a sudden there came a sound from heaven like as of a rushing mighty wind. And the Bible said it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each and every one of them. All 120 people were filled with the Spirit of the living God. And they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. It didn't say just a few. It said there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Come on, the church was born with power. The church was born with power. The church will die with power. Come on, the church still has power today. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, everybody say nothing, and nothing shall separate, or nothing shall by any means harm you. Amen. He has given the church power today. The church was born with power. The church will always have power. Until Jesus comes and takes the church home, we will still have power. We are a victorious church today. Clap your hands and give him praise if you believe you have the victory today. The church still has power. Nothing can separate us, the church, the victorious church, from the love of God. Nothing can defeat us as long as we keep our eyes upon Jesus. The church is the body of Christ. I'm so thankful. Once in a while, I get out my phone. I keep a list of all the people that we have baptized. Amen. And just the other day, I saw a young man at the Mexican restaurant over by the house named Brother Cameron Russell. And when I saw him, it reminded me, and I got my phone out, and I began to dig through my phone and find in my notes, and I began to dig through all the list of the people that we have baptized in this place. And Brother Cameron was the very first person that we baptized in this church in 2018. Amen. I'm thankful today that the Lord is still baptizing people in the name of Jesus, and the Lord is still baptizing people in the power of the Holy Ghost, and he's still giving the church power today. We are a victorious church. He ordained the church. He shed his blood for the church. Nothing can separate the church from the love of God. Amen. The church is the body of Christ. We're baptized into the body of Christ. And all the power of the Almighty God that made the heavens and the earth is resident in his victorious church. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we have a God that's all powerful today. Come on, there's no power but God's power. We may fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. We may have an enemy of our soul. We may have to go through things in this life. But I come to remind somebody today, there's no power but God's power. And you're in the power of the church today. You're in a victorious church today. The Lord ordained the church. The Lord shed his blood for the church. The Lord defeated death, hell, and the grave for the church. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have power over Satan today. We have power over sin today. We have power over this old flesh today. Ain't you glad to know that the Holy Ghost gives you the power to live above sin? Come on, the Holy Ghost won't make your decisions for you, but it can raise you right above that sin and allow you to live above that sin today. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. We have power over this old flesh today. You don't have to allow your flesh to make all of your decisions, because we're the people of the name. We're not serving an unknown God. We know who he is. We know what he did. We know the power with which he came. And we know he's coming back for us again. We're not a people serving an unknown God today. We're the people of the name. A name makes this thing personal. We're not just serving God today. We're serving a God with a name. And his name is high and lifted up. His name is above every name. His name is Jesus today. Somebody shout Jesus. His name is Jesus. A name makes things personal. A name comes with an identity. Come on, when you're called by a name, people place an identity on you. A name symbolizes authority. You don't have authority without the name. Huh? I used to think it was the most confusing thing in the world. Some of you hillbillies from Mooresville. Anybody hillbillies from Mooresville in here? I'm sorry, guys. They used to have a restaurant over there called Lost Name. I was like, that's the dumbest name you could ever put on a steakhouse. It didn't last long. No wonder why. And no wonder Texas Roadhouse. That's a name for a steakhouse right there. Texas Roadhouse just passed Olive Garden this week for the number one casual dining in America. You know why? Because they got a popular name. A name gives you an identity. A name gives you authority. A name tells people who you are. And I don't know about you, but I don't just want to be known as John Biddle. I want to be known as a child of God. I want to be known as blood bought, sin washed away by the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. I want his name applied to my life. Hallelujah. Why? Because I became his bride. Huh? I told my wife a long time ago, I said, man, it's a good thing you and I got married so long ago. Because if you tried that mess about marrying me without taking my name, you find you another husband. Huh? I ain't taking no woman that ain't taking my name. Now, y'all can call me old-fashioned. Call me whatever you want. But I ain't marrying no woman that ain't taking my name. Amen, because a name gives us identity. Amen, a name tells us who we are. Amen, your name symbolizes the authority that you've been given in your life. The Lord has given his church unlimited power through his name. We are the people of the name today. We are the people of the name. He said, whatever you ask in his name, he will do it. In his name, there's forgiveness of sin. In his name, there's healing for your body. In his name, there's salvation for your soul. In his name, there's sanctification from your uncleanness. In his name, there's eternal life. He gave his life so his church could be victorious and could be called by his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Greater love, church, hath no man found than this, than a friend. A man would lay down his life for his friends. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he, everybody say he. When did God lay down his life for you? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he, God himself, laid down his life for us. We ought to lay on our own lives, the Bible says, for the brethren. The Lord loves his church. Can I tell you today, you are the apple of his eye. You are the heartbeat of his chest. You are the blood that flows through his veins. The Lord adores, the Lord admires, the Lord loves his church. How much do you have to love something to give yourself for it? To suffer and die for it? To suffer and die the worst death that man has ever known on the face of the earth? How much do you have to love something? The Lord loves his church. He set things up so that the world would know that we are his disciples when we love one another. Can I tell you, can I make a bold statement today? Nobody views you as the church if you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, my God. Oh, some folks just got offended. Am I going to say it one more time? Nobody views you as the church if you go around hating on everybody. You better have the love of God shed abroad in your heart and love people and love hurting people and love broken people and love confused people. Nobody's going to view you as the church going around hating on everybody all the time. Come on. He set it up so that people would know us as his disciples. How? If we love one another, if we love one another, if we care for one another, if we support one another, if we be there for one another, the Lord loves his church and the Lord wants us to love his church. Nobody will view you as a church if you're hating on people all the time. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And the Bible says, and they lived not their lives unto death. The threat of death was not enough to cause Stephen to stay silent. He knew, Brother Peter, he could die a horrible death by stoning. But it wasn't enough to cause him to hold his peace. How much do you love the church? How much do you love the lost? How much do you love the hurting today? The threat of death was not enough to cause Stephen to keep silent about his testimony. In fact, it's recorded that every apostle in the New Testament, with the exception of John, died because they would not keep silent about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would not keep silent about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to love him more than we love ourselves. That's a hard saying today. That's a saying that, Brother Craig, your flesh just doesn't want to get a hold of today. We got to love him more than we love ourselves. Come on, our society, our Western culture, the times that we live in tell us we got to look out for ourselves. Come on, the Calvary ain't coming. The creek's arising and the bridge is broke, right? We got to save ourselves. No, you don't. You got to let Jesus save you. You got to worry about your brother and your sister. You got to prefer your brother and prefer your sister. You got to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. We ain't worried. We look, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, the Bible says. You can't, you're not good enough to save yourself. I'm not good enough to save myself today. We need the help of the Holy Ghost. The Lord loves his church. Come on, the Lord loves his church, and we got to love his church, and we got to love him more than we love ourselves. If we're going to remain a victorious church, we got to love him more than we love ourselves. My God, if we're going to remain a victorious church, we got to seek ye first the kingdom of God. We got to trust him more than we trust ourselves. How many know that's a hard thing to do? How many know from the time that you are big enough to take care of yourself, you feel like you have taken care of yourself. How many know that's a hard mindset to break? When you come into the church and you realize, man, all this time, Brother Caleb, I thought I was taking care of myself. You know how many times I made the foolish comment? Nobody never gave me nothing. I worked hard for everything I got. That is one of the dumbest things ever came out of my mouth. The Lord gave me everything I got. I don't care how hard I worked. I don't know how good or how great I performed. Everything I've ever done good in my life is because He gave me the ability to do it. That is one of the dumbest things that ever came out of my mouth. But we are trained in this mindset that we take care of ourselves. No, you don't. The Lord takes care of you. Come on, not one sparrow falls to the ground. The Bible says that He don't know it. Come on, He feeds them. He provides for them. He feeds you. He provides for you. And not anything that you have done did you have the ability to do it without God giving you the ability to do it. He's good to us. He loves His church today. We got to trust Him more than we trust ourselves. Because the truth is, our power is built on the foundation of His power. Our authority. Come on, and I know there are some folks in here that got good jobs in good positions. You might own your own company. You might be a CEO, vice president. You might be whatever, all that in a bag of chips. I don't care what your position, what your title is. Let me tell you something. You didn't get there without the Lord. He paved every step of the way for you. He made it possible. He gave you the functionality to do it. He gives you the ability to do all things. We got to understand our power is built on the foundation of His power. And our authority is built on the foundation of His authority. Everything that's good in our life, our victory comes from the sure foundation that He is victorious. And He passes on that victory to His church. And today we're blessed to be a part of a victorious church. An end time harvest church. A church where people can still feel the conviction of God when they walk through the doors. A church where people can still be baptized in His name and raised to power again. A church where people can be filled with His Spirit. We're blessed to be a part of a victorious church. Our victory comes from the sure foundation of His victory. We're trusting. We're not trusting in ourselves. We're not leaning on our own understanding. Now, we've been endued with power from on high, and we understand it's not our power, it comes from God. Our victory is not just our victory. It comes from God. He passed on His victory to His victorious church. We're not trusting in ourselves today. As your pastor, I come to remind you, don't dare lean on your own understanding. Don't dare lean on your own accomplishments. Look, it's okay to work hard. It's great. You should work hard. If your boss asks you to take one step, you ought to take two. My daddy taught me that. Took me a long way. If your boss asks you to take one step, take two. But that don't mean you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Any favor you got in this world, any accomplishments you got in this world, they came from God Almighty. They came from God Almighty. We can't trust in ourselves. We can't lean on our own accomplishments and our own understanding. We have been blessed to be endued with power from on high. We're a blessed people. And because He's victorious, the church is victorious. And because the church is victorious, you are victorious. Because you're a part of a victorious church today. I came to serve notice on the devil. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Come on, I came to serve notice on the enemy of your soul today. I came to serve notice on the one who's attacking your marriage today. I came to serve notice on the one who's attacking your health today. I came to serve notice on the one who's trying to take your children from you today. I came to serve notice the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Clap your hands and give the Lord some praise if you believe you're in a victorious church today. We take victory. We take authority. Come on, we take dominion today that God has given us because we're a victorious church. Because He is victorious, the church is victorious. And because the church is victorious, we are victorious today. We're serving notice on the devil. The gates of hell shall not prevail against God's truth preaching, devil defeating, mountain climbing, temptation triumphing church today. It's a victorious church. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. The body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church is a victorious church. It's destined, it's designed for victory. The church cannot lose. The church cannot be defeated. The question is, will you remain in that victory by remaining a part of the church? You know how many people have surrendered their victory because they walked away from the church? I told a young man the other day, come in, want to be baptized. I said, so you're looking for a church? He said, no, I'm not looking for no church. You ain't got to go to church. I said, I beg to differ with that. I said, that's not what my Bible tells me. I said, my Bible tells me that you should not forsake the assembling of yourself together. My Bible tells me if you want God to visit you, you got to visit Him. Come on. I said, my Bible tells me that you got to assemble yourself together. And if you want to be close to God, come on. How do we increase our faith? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. How do you hear the Word of God if you don't ever go to church? So I said, I beg to differ that. He said, well, the Bible has been rewritten and manipulated to benefit man. I said, I don't believe that mess. I said, the Bible is the unadulterated Word of God. The Bible is God's Word from heaven to us. I said, and we go back as far as we can in the King James Version. I said, do I believe there might have been a few clerical errors by the translators? Possibly. I said, but the Bible is God's unadulterated Word. We can build our house upon it today. Can I tell you today, when your Bible tells you that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, that's exactly what it means. Can I tell you that when your Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God, that's exactly what it means today. You're victorious today. You're a victorious church. The body of Christ is destined for victory. You were created for victory. You weren't created to be a loser today. The question is, will you remain in that victory by remaining a part of God's church? Somebody has to win. Somebody has to lose. The Lord and His church already have the victory. The triumph of the church cannot be disputed. Come on. He's never lost a battle. His train fills the temple. He's victorious. He cannot lose today. He already has the victory. The triumph of the church cannot be disputed. Those who have repented of their sins, those who have taken on the name of Jesus in water baptism, those who have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, like the Bible says, will be saved by the grace of God if they endure to the end. You cannot lose. All you got to do is walk humbly with your God. Let Him speak to you. Let Him correct you. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Let His Spirit give you an unction in your life. Let it be your guide, your roadmap in this life. And you cannot lose. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. And you cannot lose today. Come on. Grace is not a license to live in sin. I'm going to say that one more time. Grace is not a license to live in sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Grace is not a license to live in sin. Paul wrote to the church, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. That trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to be ushered up out of this place, incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed." Ooh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." You were destined for victory. You, every single one under the sound of my voice, God created you for victory. He created you to be a victorious church today. Nobody in this room, nobody under the sound of my voice, you might have been born into sin. You might have been shapen in iniquity. But let me tell you something. When you're blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, He puts a victory in you that the world cannot take away. Only you yourself can take it away. Only you. Death is swallowed up in victory. Listen, when it's all said and done, the church, not those who are half in, not those who come and do what they want. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the faithful church. I'm talking about those who love God with everything that is within them. When it's all said and done, the church is going to leave this place in a glorious celebration of victory. You have never seen the likes of victory as you will when the Holy Ghost pulls you up out of this place. Ooh, and you go to be with Him forever. My God, when we're ushered up out of this place, you have never seen the likes of a victory before. God has called a glorious and a victorious church. And when it's all said and done, there's going to be a glorious celebration of victory. He's called a glorious church out of this world to be victorious. You can be overwhelmed by His love by being baptized into His body today. Right there under the lid of that little gray tank, there are waters that await to wash away your sins. And when we raise you up out of that water, there's a God in heaven that's waiting to baptize you with fire from heaven today. Just like happened on the day of Pentecost, there'll be a sound like a rushing mighty wind. It can fill this temple. It can fill this house. And the Lord can give you victory today. The Lord can give you victory today. When it's all said and done, we're going to be ushered up out of this place. Ooh. Come on, if you're here today and you ain't been baptized in the name of Jesus, if you're here today and you have not received the Holy Ghost, there's only two things that's required of you to get the Holy Ghost. You got to repent of your sins. Anytime you seek God for the Holy Ghost, the first thing you should do is you should ask God to forgive you of everything you have ever done in your life that is wrong. And then you need to say, "God, I believe you." And you need to open your mouth and you need to get in a receiving position. And you don't have to beg for it. You don't have to plead for it. You don't have to contend for it. All you got to do is start thanking Him for it. And by faith, He will fill you with His Spirit today. We still serve a God that has given us victory. Ooh, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of a victorious church today. Man, I'm feeling mighty fine right now. I'm feeling awfully good right now. I'm feeling really good about the God that I serve right now. I'm feeling really good about being apostolic right now. There's no greater life than living in the victorious church today. Clap your hands if you're thankful. to be apostolic. Clap your hands if you're thankful to have the truth today.